Welcome into your morning conversation here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm your host, Jeremy Warner. And joining me, as she will, through the rest of the election cycle is Dr. Jessica Gracie, professor here at Northwest Missouri State University, focusing on political science. And the political science that, I guess, diving straight into it, political science is mixing a little bit with regular science this
actual
week.
Actual science, climate science, yeah.
Because of Hurricane Milton, and I told you I was going to screw up the name, Hurricane Helene.
I think it's Helene.
Helene, yeah. Okay. But back-to-back hurricanes within 2 weeks, you know, it's happened, but it is unheard of. Mm-hmm. And this was the first Category 3, at least at landfall, to hit Tampa in like almost 100 years. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, building off of last week, is this the October surprise?
I think maybe we'll just have an October surprise every week of October, potentially. Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly, I think, could have a potential impact on the election. I was saying earlier, I think it feels kind of like icky to talk about something that's so disastrous in these political terms, but it is being politicized, and you know, it does have an impact, a potential impact on the election. And so, you know, it's something we kind of probably shouldn't, you know, ignore the political impact. So yeah, I don't know. Will it have an impact on the election? It's certainly possible. But it depends on a whole lot of factors, right? In North Carolina, I think they at least have had some movement in sort of fixing some of the potential problems that could happen, like polling places being destroyed. And so then now if you don't have your polling place anymore, where do you go vote? And so they've kind of helped with some of those things. Florida hasn't yet, but of course, right, like it just happened. So how quickly will Florida move on that? They're not known for having the smoothest elections, so I don't know how quickly they will. And of course, they're, you know, a week and a half after the North Carolina hurricane, so they have a little less time to sort of figure out those problems. So, and they have a lot more electoral college votes, a lot more voters, so it could be even harder to fix those problems and more impactful, too, potentially.
And when you say politicize, you know, hurricanes in the past, people had, there's a few hurricanes in the past people believe had an impact. The one that recently comes to mind is, I can't remember the name of the hurricane, but it was the one under Obama's administration, and he was running against Romney. Mm-hmm. And they say that had an impact because of how well he handled it.
Yeah.
And with this election cycle, we're seeing discussions over that as well, how well it's being handled by the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's having an impact on voters right now, listening to all the kind of political rhetoric out there?
I think something like this has the impact, potential to impact the states that it's affected, right, politically, obviously. Will it reach out nationally? I think it has the potential to only if it's handled exceptionally well or exceptionally bad. If it's just like, okay, that was fine, the response was okay, I don't know that it's going to really move voters in one direction or another that aren't kind of not directly impacted by those storms, right? For the people in North Carolina and Florida who are displaced, obviously that has a lot more potential to impact the electoral votes there. But, you know, for someone who lives in Missouri, is my vote going to really be that impacted by the response to the hurricanes? Potentially, but only if it's like just the worst response or a really impressive response.
I was going to say the only, you know, weather we have out here is in the summer, and that I don't know how much the flooding along the Missouri River really impacts things. I mean, it could. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the types of things we have tend to not be as wide swaths of impact, right? You know, like more targeted tornadoes, or yeah, flooding that can impact a lot of people, but that's usually a lot, you know, slower.
So my barometer for, you know, because we do have two different kind of media spheres along with the mainstream media. We have liberal media, conservative mm-hmm. media. My barometers for this are conservative or Breitbart.com, and for liberals, HuffingtonPost.com. Mm-hmm. And I've seen how they're painting it on, you know, the liberal sphere. It's we have these conservative governors who aren't responding well to this. And then in the conservative sphere, it's we have a Biden administration that is sending money to migrants as opposed to people in America who've been impacted.
Right.
Do you think either of those messages will resonate?
Yes, I think they could. I think the types of people, though, that are consuming those more sort of biased types of media are probably already inclined to sort of agree or, you know, disagree with the messages. You know, if you're reading Breitbart, you probably already are going to vote in a conservative way. And so is that sort of information that's going to change your vote? Probably not. But it might get you more hyped up, more likely to engage in the election than you already were. And then, of course, you can't discount the fact that, you know, the people who are reading that also might be sharing that on social media with, you know, friends and family who otherwise would not sort of come across that information. And then does it impact those people? Maybe. I think it depends on the extent to which, you know, some of the more interesting conspiracy theories that are being shared are believed, and to what extent they kind of are getting conflicting messages to you, right? Because if I'm seeing my friends on Facebook share very biased news from one direction, I might also be seeing it from the other direction. Maybe not. It kind of depends on how widespread our news feeds are.
And conspiracy theories are really nothing new in America. I mean, mm-hmm. the JFK assassination, for instance, is kind of, people look at that as the modern day linchpin of just conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. How much are conspiracy theories and misinformation impacting the election this year? Because, you know, I think it was the head of FEMA or somebody else recently stated they'd never seen this much involved with a hurricane.
Yeah, I think it is really interesting because, yeah, it tends to be that there are certain types of events where you tend to see a lot more conspiracy theories and others where it tends to be sort of less widespread. I think we've just seen a lot more conspiracy theories lately, it feels like. And I don't know if that's because of social media, that it becomes a lot easier for us to share those, or because there is now so much media out there that it's really hard for people to pick apart the good kinds of the, you know, ones that are more trustworthy versus the ones that are not so trustworthy. And so it's hard to tell, but I know we definitely do see more conspiracy theories when things that are just hard to explain sort of happen. And so you have these like big natural disasters and it's comforting to think that there's something that's the reason behind it rather than just sometimes awful things happen, you know? And so it makes sense that people are kind of coming up with these conspiracy theories to make themselves feel sometimes more angry, but comforted in their anger. And so, yeah, I think it's interesting that we have so many conspiracy theories with this kind of event when we tend to not too often see some with hurricanes and those sort of things that are very clearly, you know, natural disasters that are not man-made in any way, right? These things that are very clearly just things that happen that we kind of want to try to have some meaning around them.
Reminds me of a quote from The Watchmen, the comic book. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of the quote right now. Something along the lines of the universe is random and cruel.
Yeah.
The other kind of part to this is, you know, in the 21st century, in terms of polling, we've seen climate change inch up in terms of voter concerns. I think in the mm-hmm. past election cycle, which would be 2020 to now, mm-hmm. I want to say the average for the polling, it's shown to gone up like 4 or 5% or something like that. Does that play into this where, you know, maybe the light bulb is clicking on for some people of, oh, maybe climate change is something that, you know, I've ignored it or I haven't believed it in the past?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think I saw an article with Hurricane Helene and one for Hurricane Milton where, you know, scientists were saying like, yeah, these are as bad as they are because of climate change, right? Now, is that message resonating with people who are already likely to not believe in climate change or not think that it's important? I don't know that they're going to necessarily hear that message, but maybe people who are kind of, yeah, I mean, climate change is a thing, but I, what could I possibly do? I'm not that concerned about it. Maybe this might make it a little more important, a little more salient to them, potentially, hopefully.
So one of the things I've read kind of building off that is that, and I think this is true for anybody, at least in America, is that the reason that you see farmers starting to change their mind about climate change is because, especially in Iowa after the Derecho, was insurance companies going, you know what, we're done covering this stuff, we're leaving, you know, and people not being able to get, you know, basic insurance for flood, tornado, And, you know, people in North Carolina, unfortunately, don't have flood insurance in the mountains. So
right. Yeah, when you're 300 miles away from the ocean, why would you? Yeah.
And so if it hits them in the pocketbooks, is that more likely to change a voter's perspective? Just like we've seen when, you know, bread and milk at the grocery store are sky high and all of a sudden everybody thinks the economy is broken.
Yeah. I mean, I think we tend to assume in political science that most voters are self-interested, right? And most of what is the most common, obvious self-interest to most people is economic self-interest, right? So if something is economically in my own self-interest, I'm a lot more likely to vote in that direction. And so, yeah, I mean, if we see a lot more people, not just, I mean, I think there are lots of things that impact us, but unless it impacts us economically, we tend to, it's a lot easier for us to ignore it. Now, in our sort of hyper-partisan era, is that always still the main concern with a lot of people? Because I think we've seen some evidence that the way that we perceive the state of the economy is very colored by our partisanship. And so, you know, if I'm a Democrat and there's a Democrat in office, I think that the economy is doing fine, right? But if I'm a Republican and a Democrat's in office, the economy is awful, right? And we've seen that effect happen no matter who, you know, which party is in office, that if the person that you are inclined to support is the one that's president, you think the economy is doing great. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there is a difference for our own personal self-interest, but it might not kind of have as much of an impact as we think that it should or used to.
Okay. And I guess, you know, getting off the hurricane but still staying on polling, polls are still showing a very close race. Mm-hmm. And once again, the polls are saying, you know, Project 538, one of my favorites for aggregation, is still saying, you know, the way these polls are shaping up, it could, I think it said there was a 35% chance that Harris, or even, I think it's lower for Trump, but Harris, it's 35% chance of 350 or higher electoral votes. Yeah. Even though we're in a race that it says Harris only has maybe a 55% chance of winning, which sounds insane. Do you expect this to just keep continuing for the next 3 weeks of everyone going, I don't know?
Yes, I imagine it will probably, well, I would say it would probably get tighter, but I don't know how it could get any tighter, actually. So, but yeah, I mean, unless something, you know, absolutely out of the realm of, you know, what we're thinking of happens, which, you know, October surprises happen. We'll see what the one is for next week. But yeah, I mean, I think it is going to be a tight race, and I think it will continue to be. I think we won't probably know, you know, until election night, maybe, or the next day, or maybe the next week, you know, who actually wins the election.
And is this just because 2016 was just so overconfident and Hillary Clinton winning and then Donald Trump pulling off, you know, the surprise for almost every pollster? Is that just still the after effects of that, of every pollster kind of little on edge?
I think that's part of it. I think, you know, they definitely were more confident than they should have been in 2016. But I also think, too, the way that the media reported those probabilities was too confident as well. But, yeah, I think they were definitely overconfident in 2016. They definitely tried to pull it back in 2020, but were still, you know, probably a little more confident than they probably should have been. And yeah, so I think that they're always kind of concerned that they're going to say, oh, no, definitely 100% she's going to win, or, you know, 92% sure that she's going to win, that then it won't happen, right? And then they'll look silly again. But I think it is still a really close race, even with them saying it's very close. I think they're right. It is a very close race. And I think they don't want to be overconfident in calling it one direction or another, but I think they're right to do that anyway, even if they weren't worried about the potential backlash of voters being like, why did you tell us this thing was going to be so close and it wasn't?
Okay, well, makes sense. And like you said, probably another October surprise next week. But thank you for joining us again.